And we thank all our guests for joining us this morning. The song that Brother Jeff just sang is from Psalm 36. And it says, "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the ocean tide. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings." Thank you, Lord. His love, when we just meditate on that just a minute, you know, his love is unfailing. And his righteousness stretches infinitely through the skies. How amazing is our God. His faithfulness, his righteousness. You know, the psalmist wrote this psalm, and he was comparing the faithfulness of God with the wickedness of people. Is the contrast that was going on here. And he wanted us to know God's love knows no boundaries. God is faithful and God is just. And so, therefore, we do not fear the wicked. Somebody say amen. Lots going on in our world, but we do not fear it. Thank you, Lord. There is a handout this morning. We apologize. Our part is still not in for our projectors. And so this is our fourth week without having any visuals. And so we continue to walk by faith and not by sight. And we've all realized how dependent we are upon visuals. And it does help, doesn't it? Visuals help a lot. And so we pray that part gets in. It seems like it gets harder and harder to get electronic parts when you need them. So, all right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for how your word transforms us. I pray today that this word transforms our heart, transforms our mind, Lord, and draws us closer to you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So great is the Lord's faithfulness. We titled this message, "Our God is Faithful." Tell someone close to you, God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9 should be on your handout. "Therefore, know that the Lord our God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." God is faithful to those who are in covenant with him. And by the way, these notes are from some of my studies that I've done on the nature of God. God is faithful. This is his nature. This is who he automatically is. He expects us to be faithful in our relationship with him. And when God is faithful to us, our response to him should be, tell me. Yes, Lord. Yes. It should be faithful. God is faithful and we faithfully respond to him. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 25:10 says, "All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant." So the steadfast love and the faithfulness we receive from God shows us he's trustworthy. He's trustworthy. Not everything is trustworthy. Not even what you're watching on the internet, what you're seeing in commercials. You know, AI is doing a lot of things to media. You don't know what is truthful and what's not truthful. Things that are shared, things that are said. You don't know what's trustworthy anymore. Is that right? It just feels like sometimes the foundation is falling out of things in America because people generally were pretty honest and trustworthy, and now you just got to wonder about what you're hearing. I think I just liked the news when they gave the news. You know, when they just shared what was going on, and you formed your own opinion. And you made your own decision. But now it's not like that at all. Everything has a little spin on it to try and convince you to believe what they're saying. But God's not like that. His word's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's trustworthy. We can count on him. And our love and our obedience and our faithfulness are our response to God. So when we obey his commandments, when we love him, loving God, loving others, and when we're obedient, when we're faithful, that's how we respond. We can respond with words, but words are really cheap. Right? We can respond with words, but it's the action that goes with our words. Faith without works is dead. It's dead. And so there has to be some action that goes into it. You know, people can tell you a lot of stuff that isn't true. Have you ever experienced that? And it's like, wow, that's really a great story. But somehow, you know, is there some hollowness in that? Have you ever sensed that in your spirit? We got to stir up that gift of discernment that we understand what is truth and what is not truth. Because the Holy Spirit will tell us, right? He's the Spirit of truth. And he lives in you. Say, he lives in me. You know, and so pulling on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, is that true? Or isn't that true? But being faithful in the little will bring an increase in our lives. You know, a lot of things, times we look for the big thing. I'm going to be faithful in this big thing. But can you just be faithful every day? We're only promised today. We're not promised tomorrow. I only have today. And we are totally dependent on God to be faithful. He is the faithful one. Think about that. We're totally dependent on him to be faithful. Our dependence is on the Lord. Jesus said, of myself, I can do nothing. He said, I only do what I see the Father do. He was so close in relationship with his Heavenly Father. He didn't step out without knowing that is what the Father wanted. So many times we can get confident and faithful in our own decisions. Or let me say, our own decision-making ability. And sometimes we just have to step back and ask God. Ask God. Might sound like a great idea, but is it a God idea? And ask the Lord, because the Lord causes us to be successful when we follow his plan. Because it's all about God, right? It's all about how he designed us. We are made by God. Our life is designed by God. And how we are to live it is designed by God. It's all laid out in his word. And so when we seek him first, like I think it was Jeff, Gabe, somebody, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So we proceed in obedience to God. And total dependence upon him. Just like Jesus, right? Jesus is our model of faithfulness. In Hebrews 3:1-2, it says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix them there. Whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. And he was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. So as our apostle, he represents God to us. And as our high priest, he represents us before God. He's our apostle and he's our high priest. And our thoughts are to be on him. And The believer's commentary said this, all true believers are holy as to their position, and they should be holy as to their practice. In Christ, they are holy. In themselves, they ought to be holy. keeping our eyes on the Lord to be faithful. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no power. Or there is no law. There is no law. Faithfulness grows in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we cannot get it on our own. And so as we imitate the Holy Spirit, it produces this character in us. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23 to 24 says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." He will do it. He is able to present you completely blameless. Hallelujah. A church without spot and without wrinkle. He is a faithful God, and he is faithful to generations. And so as I thought back over my life of the faithfulness of God to me and to my husband, Apostle Leonard, it's been amazing, an amazing walk with the Lord. We were both saved really young, and we thank God for that. We were both raised in holiness, Pentecost, and we thank God for that. And we just thank God that we were taught the fear of the Lord. And I heard a minister yesterday saying, "Where is the fear of the Lord? Where is the fear of the Lord and the people? They just go ahead and do whatever they want to do. Even Christians do what they want to do." You know, over the last just couple years, there's been so many great ministers fall. And that's because they were not being faithful to the call. They were doing what they wanted to do instead of doing what they knew they should do. And Bishop Hammond, he has always said, God will check your character. God will check your character, and he will deal with you, and he will give you grace to change. But if you're not willing to change, then he's going to take that, and he's going to shout it from the mountaintops, and everybody's going to know about it. Because he won't leave a person in a high position without shouting the truth about what is going on. But he is so long-suffering. He deals with us, and he deals with us. But you know, our responsibility is to take care of that. It's to listen to what God is telling us. We just cannot keep railroading doing what we want to do. Maybe that's a hard word, but that is the truth. Because God is so gracious to us. He's done so much for us. And this great salvation that we have, why would we just throw it away? You know, when you walk with God, he gives you abundantly and above all that you could even ask or think. God works miracle after miracle after miracle. We thank God. And he gives us insight into things. Our oldest daughter, when she was a baby, her foot turned funny. Really bothered me. And the doctor said, "Oh, don't worry about it. Just do this exercise. Do this massage on it. And it's going to change." But you know what? The check in my spirit never changed. You know, I knew something was wrong. And so I took her to a specialist. And when I took her to the specialist, he said, "Well, her hip joint didn't form properly. And if that had gone unchecked, and then she would have been in a wheelchair by the time she was in her 20s. I mean, it was a serious condition that her main physician was just overlooking. But I knew there was something more to it. And so it was a process. It was a couple years of therapy and wearing a pillow splint and all kinds of stuff. But you know, she was a happy baby, and she didn't realize that. But she would have realized it when she started to walk and put weight on that. You know, but God was faithful. Before she got to that stage, God healed that joint. God healed it. And she never had problem with arthritis in her hip joints. It didn't end up in a wheelchair. To the glory of God. So we've got to trust God. When we're obedient, we listen. Sometimes we just have this discernment in our hearts. And God's going to stir up that gift of discernment more and more inside his people as we come into the last days. We are in the last days, and there is so much evil and wickedness and deception going on. I remember Elder Jim used to say all the time, deception is the spirit of the last days. And so much deception. And we've got to be close with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. So we know the truth from the air. Because the scripture tells us very clearly that signs, wonders, and miracles will be done by false apostles. Wow. And people will run after that because they believe it's the real deal. We've got to know what's the real and what is the false. And you've probably heard this before. People learn how to handle real money and what is counterfeit by handling real money. I was listening to a story the other day, and the guy said he was really excited about going into banking because he was going to learn what was counterfeit and what was real. And he said, they put me in the back office for 3 months, and all I did was count bills over and over again. And he said, you know, from handling the real, I would know in an instant what is the counterfeit. And you see, God's word is true. We have got to learn how to handle the word of God. And it doesn't happen in just one setting, church. It happens as we continually get in the word and use it over and over and apply it into our lives. And as we do that, we recognize and we begin to see. God enlightens us. He opens our eyes to show us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the one who calls us. And you are faithful to do it. Thank you, Lord. We're getting close to our 28th church anniversary. And so I like to look back. You know, I've shared before, we live life moving forward, looking forward. But we understand life more when we look back. Someone say amen. That's taking time to reflect and look back. And I was going through some words that were released over the church in at the beginning of 2021. You know, who remembers 2020? We come through a tough year in 2020. I think people are still traumatized from 2020. And Bishop Hammond was here at the beginning. Dr. Bill was here at the beginning of the year. And he did all kinds of warfare and spiritual worship and breaking open the heavens over our congregation. And I know that the heavens are open over us. They're open. The presence of the Lord has just settled in to this place because of you, because of your love, because of your expectation. It's not because of who's speaking. It's not because of this building, but it's because of us. We could go to another place and the presence of the Lord would still engulf us. Because we individually are the church and we house the spirit of the living God. And the scripture says we are his temple. Someone say amen. And so as I look back over these words, Elder Jim stood out to me. And I just wanted to share it with you this morning. And, you know, I printed everything out because my study on the nature of God, on his faithfulness, that is something that if you'll just meditate, the Holy Spirit will just pour so much revelation into you about his faithfulness. And just taking time every day to thank him for his faithfulness. We are not to take our relationship with God for granted. You know, so many times in this earth, we take relationships for granted. And that is, you know, that is something that couples do often. Married couples who have been married a long time just take each other for granted. We can't do that. We've got to value one another's relationships. You know, you learn new things about your spouse as you go. Because, you know, your spouse changes. And it's not the same person you married years ago. They change. And that's all a part of marriage. I was talking with a young prophet yesterday, and he was telling me he's married like 24 years or something. I said, wow, that's awesome. I've been married 54 years. And he's like, oh. You don't hear that very often. I said, well, you know, I learned that our covenant is with God. And as you look at your covenant with God, you honor God by honoring your spouse. You honor God by being faithful to your spouse. You honor Him by honoring each other. And so people change. And I said, you have to learn to be flexible because people change. They're not the same. Every single one of us was created by God's design, and our life has been designed by Him. And we are not the same as when we were born. We're not the same as when we were 4. We're not the same as when we were 10. God is constantly changing us, transforming us. And whoever you're married to, they have to be flexible to still love you because you're not the same. And I'm not saying people always change for the better. You might not like their personality after a while. You know, a lot of people get married and within a year they're going, oh, my word, who did I marry? But they couldn't wait to get married. You know, they couldn't wait to get married. Nobody could have told them otherwise. But, you know, after all the hormones and the chemicals and all that wear off, it's like, whoa, this is life. Someone say marriage is life. And it is a relationship that is the most precious thing you can have. You just have to learn to be flexible. And move. It changes a lot. So anyway, I don't know why I'm sharing that, but Elder Jim's word is beautiful, and I wanted to just read through it with you. He said that as he prayed, he heard the Father draw him to this key verse, and this was for 2021, which is forever, you know. A word is always good. You got to go back and read them and meditate on them. But he said, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward one and good deeds, towards love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. I hear Father say, come closer to me. Draw near to me. This is my heart, that we would be one, so that you will know me as I know you, and you will know how I see you in your potential. You draw near to me by knowing my word, worshiping, and praying. Draw near to me. Since the cross, I have been shaking the kingdoms of the earth, so those looking for me will search and find me. I will continue to shake the earth in these days, but those with a sure foundation in my church will only see shaking. The impact of the shaking is to awaken those still in the harvest field. For I will still protect my church, care for my church, and provide for my church. That is why I need my church to hold fast to the hope of Jesus Christ and my kingdom. If you hold fast, I will be faithful to provide all your needs personally and for the work of my harvest field. There is still much to be done to bring in the final harvest. I encourage you to continue to assemble together as the body of Christ, to encourage one another with your gifts and calling. Satan is looking for those that stray, and do not assemble together. As you assemble together, I will receive your worship and your prayers. In these last days, you will see my glory, but you will need each other to see my glory. Pray over the harvest and then work in the fields I have called you to. Share with others the joy you have overflowing in you. This is still a time of sowing and reaping. How will you reap if you have not sown? You have been given much, so I will expect much. Sow the seeds of my goodness to others. There are still many looking for my kingdom. When they see your faith, hope, and love, they will be drawn into my kingdom. Your joy in me will be your strength in these last days. As I heard the Father say this, I heard heaven repeating, draw near, worship, pray. Draw near, worship, pray. Draw near, worship, pray. Luke 12:48. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Thank you, Lord, for this word. And Lord, may we apply it into our hearts in this season. God, you are drawing us to you. You said if we would come near to you, you would come near to us. We thank you, Lord, that you're drawing us. We couldn't come if you weren't drawing us. But Lord, we sense your presence. We sense your drawing. We sense your desire, Lord, to manifest yourself within our lives, within our body, within our church. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that we can worship you together. We thank you, Lord, that we can pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.